Hi, this is Carlos from BNRC and Glenn from Launchpad H. And today we're going to talk about setup costs and financial feasibility.
I'm up.
Hi.
Glenn, tell us a little bit more about that. Where do we get started from here? Research and development here?
Sure. R&D is always a good place to start. So typically you want to spend some time finding locations, looking at areas that you like, areas where you think your concept will work. So we have to think about the financial implications of that. It's more about time, but unfortunately it's not something that you can just do on the weekends, like finding a house. It takes a lot of time, and it may require you to either leave your job or take time away from your job, so reducing your income during that time in order to find the right location and spot for your restaurant.
What do you need to do to find that right location?
To find the right location is obviously one of the most important aspects. You really need to concentrate on your concept, develop your concept, and you might be able to do that with a third party, being a concept designer or a branding expert. And then they will be able to focus your concept more on exactly the demographic that it requires, the sort of income, the sort of people, the social aspect of the concept. And that way they'll be able to ascertain where the best location is for your particular concept.
So what is the best way to find a site?
That's a good question, Mark. Best way to find the site is really spend some time in your desired location. So spend time, look at the other shops, look at the trade levels, walk up and down, and actively be engaged with the area that you're looking to open your restaurant.
Okay, so not to go on Google and look up places or Instagram or whatever, because this is what most people are doing now. What you're saying is go physically to where you plan to open up a site and then scan it through walking.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously it's a good place to start using IT and Google and whatever else to research areas. But then once you've chosen the area that you wish, you need to spend time and engage yourself in that area and look at the activities of the public in that area to ensure that your concept is right for that.
All right. So then let's move to another topic, which is accounting and how would a restaurant deal, you know, choosing the right accountant?
Yeah, sure. So obviously to start up a new business, it's important to have the right accountant. So that's going to cost you some money before you even start it. For a small business, it might be anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. And the good account, we'll talk about business structure depending on your personal financial situation, help you set up ABNs, ACNs, and talk about certain different ways that he can structure your personal business to ensure that you have financial feasibility, financial efficiency moving forward, and ensure that everything's right financially before you take the plunge and start a business.
Okay. So if there was one thing you wanted someone to know about this side of things, what would it be?
I think it would be just be confident and secure in your business structures. So obviously we don't know that entirely. We're not experts in accounting. So having the right accountant and the right advice and that is really paramount moving forward to ensure that you're financially stable.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, being in the industry, it's normal for or natural for any person or a restaurant owner to just pick up the phone, ring up a friend that has another restaurant somewhere else, and then they try to get some financial advice or accounting advice or whatever, where you actually go to a professional accountant that specializes in the industry. He's seen hundreds and hundreds of concepts and restaurants and businesses very similar to what you're trying to do. So it's always better to go to the expert and get the right information that's relevant to what you're trying to get from A to Z, instead of just asking a mate of yours that has might have an experience with one restaurant or two. You know,
yeah, professional boss.
Yes, no, that's excellent.
It's the best way.
Glenn, tell us more about legal and planning. What do we need to know about that?
Well, obviously having a good solicitor and the right legal advice is paramount when going into business. First of all, you want the correct advice when it comes to leasing. So that means having a legal expert that specializes in commercial leases, super important. And obviously also your any partnerships that you may have or business partnerships involved within the specific business. After that, we can go into planning. We can, you know, the right solicitor will lead you in the right direction in regards to if you're starting a business from scratch. It may have once upon a time been a retail store. So therefore, you would need planning, which has sort of can be an open-ended window of time between when you are approved and when you put in the application. So a good solicitor will lead you in the right directions there, because obviously you don't want to pay rent when you're not able to operate. So we would always advise people starting out in the industry, doing their first business, to buy an existing cafe, because all the planning, all your licenses, everything already in place. And especially things like your extraction canopies and all that sort of stuff that requires planning when you're starting from scratch is already there. So, yeah.
And that could increase the cost dramatically if they're starting a whole new place and doesn't have any planning or anything or structure or anything like that.
Exactly right. Especially with first businesses, and a good solicitor will guide you in the right direction, because you may have signed a lease and starting to pay rent already, but you may not be able to start your construction before the planning is approved.
Yeah,
which may be anywhere between 3 weeks or 3 months, sometimes even 6 months.
And then planning, I mean, forecasting of planning and how much will it cost, that could blow up as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
A lot of people blow their budgets before they are started.
Before they even get started. So that's why if you could get into an existing place in the right spot that you believe it has your target market, will be a good idea.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Glenn, tell us more about leasing and bank guarantees. What's involved?
Sure. So when you find the perfect spot for your restaurant, and your solicitor negotiates a good lease for you, with the landlord or the agent, to take that lease on, the landlord will require a bank guarantee. Now, generally, a bank guarantee will be anywhere between 3 and 12 months rent, which needs to be paid upfront and needs to be held in trust. So it's something to be very wary of. For instance, if your rent was $100,000 per annum, that means you need to take $25,000 outside of your budget and place it in a trust account that you cannot access the entire time that you're at that venue.
Okay. And what else do they need to know when it gets to this topic?
So a landlord would like to know your financial history, your background, if you own anything of substance, i.e. house, car, so that they know that their investment, i.e. their building, is secure moving forward as much as your security.
Yes. Excellent. So Carlos, tell us about financial feasibility. What do we need to know about that?
Okay. Good financial feasibility is going to have a lot of detail in it, Mark. And you're going to start off really with your ingoing costs. So you need to calculate exactly what it's going to cost you to open the business before you open the doors. And the next thing you're going to do really is forecast the sales. So have 3 years worth of sales forecasted on a low, medium and high level. After that, you've got to calculate your costs and look at what your wage costs are going to be and what your costs of goods are going to be, but also your operational day-to-day costs as well. And from all of that, you'll be able to calculate a good weekly break-even. So you'll be able to understand exactly what you need to take every week to keep your head above water.
Okay, so this is more about like ongoing costs that the business has to go through on daily, day-to-day basis, week-to-week, month-to-month.
Yes, so the last two pieces really involved in financial feasibility will be a good return on investment and also cash flow forecasting as well.
Excellent. You mentioned the topic of ongoing costs. So what's involved? What do you need to tell us about that?
The ingoing costs need to be calculated to work out really what the initial capital investment is overall before you open the doors. And it includes things like the build cost, the design, the PR and marketing, recruitment, and all of the small things that, you know, to add up. Now, the way that you work out how much the build is going to cost you is probably by calculating a cost per square meter. And that's normally calculated in between anywhere from $2,000 per square meter to $4,000 per square meter, depending on whether your restaurant is fast food, premium casual, fine dining.
Okay, great. How do you forecast your sales as a restaurant owner?
Obviously, the sales are the biggest assumption that you're going to make, because there's industry benchmarks and numbers that you can find for pretty much everything else. For example, you can get quotes on the equipment, and you can drop the actual quotes into your financial feasibility. But to work out the sales, it's good to look at the competition, to look at the local area, to spend some time counting how many people go into, you know, if it was a cafe, for example, how many people go in to that cafe between certain times, and having a look on the table and seeing, you know, what you think the average spend per head is. And if that cafe has been open for 2 or 3 years and it's well established, then, you know, it probably means that you won't open and take the same sales as that cafe that's already established. Or if it's a brand such as Grilled and you're opening a independent burger shop, then, you know, the brand is going to create more sales than you're going to create when you open your store. So I would measure what everyone else is doing. I would have a good look at how much less you think that you might do. So you might take their figures and then reduce it by 30 or 40%, for example. But a good thing to do when you're forecasting sales is make sure you forecast a low, medium, and high level. So low being, this is less than we're expecting to do. Medium being, okay, this is probably the average we're going to do. And high being, a little bit blue sky. And that way you've covered off every eventuality when you go across your financial fees.
Yes. You know what? This is an important topic. I've heard a lot of stories about, restaurant owners or cafe owners saying, you know what? My burger is going to be the best burger on the market. There's nothing like it. It will blow away Grills, will blow away this. Then they forget they have no name in the market. They have zero reputation, zero credibility in the market. Even if you have the best product, it doesn't mean that when you enter the market, you're going to get the results that you believe it's going to blow away everybody else that you think it'll probably is a better product, but you don't have the backing to just walk in and blow away everybody else. I just don't feel this is a rational thinking when they start thinking like that, you know? So that was very important to explain that. So the next topic in the financial feasibility was running costs. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, the running costs really, the two biggest running costs that you're going to have are always going to be cost of goods and labor. So it's really important to get those two right and understand what the industry benchmarks are. Because, you know, I think a lot of people would be surprised about the actual labor percentages that hospitality businesses do kick out. And they can be, you know, as high as 45 to 50%, you know, if the business is traveling a bit low on sales. So it's really important, again, to put in low, medium, and high variables across your labor percentages to make sure that you've covered off, you know, each level of sales. You know, the cost of goods, you can really drill down on the cost of goods by putting the work in when you're creating the menu. Just don't create a menu that isn't costed. It's as simple as that. Cost the menu out, work out exactly what your gross profit is going to be, and then you can put decent number in financial feasibility. Yeah, the important piece about the financial feasibility is that it's a working document. You can go back, you can adjust it, and you should do that. As you learn more and you find out more about your business, you can adjust your financial feasibility. You can use it for cash flow forecasting going forward. And you can use it for budgeting across each financial year or calendar year, depending on how you'd like to do it.
Excellent. So how do you work out breaking even?
So a weekly break even can be connected to the financial feasibility. And really it involves taking a certain amount of sales and deducting all of your costs off those sales so that your net profit line equals zero. You know, break even really is to just keep your head above water so that you can sleep comfortably at night. And from a weekly break even, what you really want is you want to know how many covers, how many people do I have to serve per week, and what's the spend per head of each of those people coming into my business, so that you know, okay, on a Monday, I just need to serve 60 people and at $15 a head to break even. And those kind of calculations can really help you to manage the labor as well. But not only that, it can help you to, work out how labor intensive you want your menu to be. So if you get to your financial feasibility and you find that it's showing that you're not showing a good net profit, it gives you an opportunity to adjust what you're doing, change the concept slightly, make it less labor intensive, and bring those numbers in.
What dramatically affects breaking even? Like, tell us more about that.
I think that labor is the biggest cost to control across hospitality businesses. The cost of goods is a task-led exercise, so we can all swap out cuts of meat, and we can all have less wastage, and we can use more of certain products to create a lower cost of goods. The labor really is the big one. So it's really important if you're an owner operator to split your time between working on the business and working in it, because you will soak up some of that labor cost as well. But my advice would be to be very, very careful with the number of people that you put on the shift, and to make sure that you're stretching your team and getting a high level of performance out of each one of them. So make sure that they're well trained, make sure that you can, that they can take care of sections with up to 20, 25 people on each section. Reward them well, look after them, encourage them, and thank them, but stretch them.
So what would a good return on investment for a cafe or a restaurant would look like?
I think that if you returned your investment across a 18-month to 2.5-year period, you'll have done very well. But sometimes it can take over 3 years to return the investment as well. But I would be looking to return money within sort of 2 to 3 years. So if you do open a cafe or a restaurant, expect to not to recover those funds until that period of time.
Excellent. Carlos, tell us more about cash flow forecasting. What a restaurant owner need to be looking at when it gets to cash flow.
Okay, so really the important piece on cash flow forecasting is not to spend all your money across the build, design, and opening period. I think you'll find that a lot of people don't hold back any working capital when they're taking these projects on, because they are under the impression that when they open the doors that the cash will flow. And that's not entirely correct. Sometimes your forecasted sales may be incorrect and you may take 50% less in sales than you're expecting to do. My advice is always to take your sales forecasting, reduce it by around 40%, and then work out what the shortfall in cash is across a 6-month period, and keep that back in your back pocket as working capital.
Okay. So, and obviously we spoke about all the ongoing costs earlier through the episode, and that's where he's going to work out what the cash flow should look like, is obviously from his spreadsheet that it's showing him all the ingoing costs, outgoing costs, ongoing costs. So no, that's excellent. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
No worries.